Accession number 12716, Mr. J. Coughlin, Reel 7.
Mr. J. Coughlin, Reel 7. In the prison, did you find prison life degrading or humiliating?
Of course it is, because like anything else, when you're locked up and locked away all day, it's very hard. You're isolated. It's putting time in, you know. It seems to go drag. The day's never going to end. So you're all right in the morning, but on the night you're locked in your cell from about 6 or 7 o'clock till 6 o'clock the next morning. So you had the padre coming round like, or any social workers like, and you could get a library. But
so the padre visited you from time to time.
Oh yes. There was the prison padre. Oh, there were prison padre coming round. You could have many, you know. I think there'd be two or three, one for every, you know, different religions. And they used to say, ask me what did we want, anything like, but there's nothing good to give us, really, because we're going to get us a library, like, you know, get us a book, go to the library, get a book. But say when the same foyer in a cell, there wasn't much, well, there was some conversation, but there was no wirelesses or no television like they have today, like, you know, just like, well, you're right, you're more or less isolated, and you're just laying on them. You used to just lay down, just, and then the lights used to go out at 9 o'clock. And they were up, you know, at 5 o'clock or half past 5, 6 o'clock in the morning to get all your chores done, you know, before you went for breakfast.
Did you find that the overall, or did you feel that the overall treatment was to treat you, you know, in a degrading way or a humiliating way?
It didn't really, but say that again, we did wrong, so you could expect we were getting punished for our wrongdoing, won't we? Like, you know, let's be honest, we broke what you call the army rules, hadn't we? So there, more or less, we had to be content with what I was like. I got my remission, like, you know, because you get so many days remission, like, but you could easily lose remission just by just being foolish. You understand what I mean? Foolish. You just back answering to one of the staff or something like that, or doing something without a silly, or doing something silly, you know. They were very strict. Well, you're on, you know, you could lose for a day of remission without doing anything. But as it happened, I never lost any of mine. I was glad when I got out. I was trying, you know, counting every day, like, you know.
You didn't experience or see any physical brutality in the assaults on prisoners?
No, I never seen any brutality. On counter, tell someone now, if you would, they were to whip you away, you know. Take it off parade, you just come up, march it off, see. So I don't know, I never had any, so I never saw any unless it was done behind our backs, like what we didn't know about, but I never saw any. Well, they were very hard with the staff, like, which, they were very hard.
Where did they come from, the staff? Had they come from different regiments?
They were all kinds of regiments, all different kinds of regiments. They were all, well, I think there was lots of regulars among them, regular soldiers. They were all more or less regular soldiers, you know, they'd been peacetime soldiers.
Did they tend to be older than you?
Oh, there were a lot of them old. I don't think there was any. Well, I'd be only 20 then, like, you know, about 20. 20, well, or about 30s, and, you know, some of them maybe was on the retirement, waiting for the last 2 or 3 years. A lot of old ones among them.
Did you ever discover what kind of person had been chosen to do that job? Out of a regiment?
I thought so. I didn't ever saw any man, you know. None of them leaned any weight of anybody, you know. Everybody was tracked alike, you understand what I mean? So they must have been trained for the job. I never seen them do anybody any favours or but favour anybody. They were all made alike, you know.
What was the relationship between prisoners? Because, like, in a normal prison or civilian prison,
we were separated.
You
were separated again. You had your conscription objectors, you had your murderers, you had your, you know, people not coming back off of them for insubordinate, for striking off with someone like that. They all had different sections, you see, in different different landings. You understand what I mean? The hard cases, the stuff, you know what I mean? Well, a lot of the hard cases were more or less employed, you understand what I mean? Because they were in longer. Short-term, we weren't, like, because we wanted, you know, for 28 days or 56 days on the shore. Some were doing 3 and 4 and 5 years, like, you know, you see. So we never really got to them, like, only on maybe, even never even on parade, we're all separate, you know, with separate sections.
So there was no situation where there was a group of prisoners who controlled their own, you know, the prison itself, controlled the other prisoners?
No, never seen any, no, I never come in contact with any anyhow, you know.
No fighting or bullying among
prisoners? I seen a bit of bullying, shoving, you know, if you're a bit obstinate, you know, the staff sergeant or whatever to call them, staff, they say, just get a good shove or get a good, you know, you know, very, not brutality, but nasty to you, you know. In other words, at the stand up, you couldn't stand up to them because they were so overpowering for you.
Did the prisoners have any unwritten laws of their own? You know, things that you weren't expected to do as a prisoner?
Well, there's a lot of them had their own. They say they're all trying to get cigarettes. Well, you weren't allowed cigarettes there, so you had to watch your boot laces. They even cut your boot laces up and they smoked them, you know. Anything that would make a cigarette. See, because when they went in, they had to take everything you got stripped down the waist and they go through all your lining in your pocket to see if they'd brought anything in. Everything was checked, even your boots, everything. So you weren't allowed anything in yourself for you were going to, you know, for suicide, for you attempted suicide.
Were there instances of men splitting on their fellow prisoners to the warders?
Oh, you always get that in there, yes, not to the warders, to the staff, like, you get that in every walk of life, like, even in, no matter, in prison especially, like, if they can get in favour with, well, the staffers, you might as well say, well, it's a feather in the caps, isn't it, like, you know, they lean a bit towards them, like, you know, oh, yes, you get that type of fella, yes, oh, yes, definitely.
Did you actually experience any men who did this kind of thing, what happened to them? What did the prisoners do?
That's the front, they go in front to say they lost the remission, like, you know, or whatever it is. Or they go in front of the commander, like, or whatever it is, the prison warden. But the staff generally could deal with it themselves, you know what I mean? Just instead of having to take them higher up, you know what I mean? Because, see, I was on it on the short term basis, where I don't know what he did in the 5 years and 10 years, these murders and manslaughter charges for one thing or another, you know. See, I don't know what happened in their department.
Was there a complaints procedure? If you had a genuine complaint, could you complain?
Oh, definitely. Oh, naturally. Oh, yes. Oh, well, you can complain anywhere, can't you? Like, you know, it's a way of life, like, you know, to complain if you think you're being put on. That doesn't sometimes... You were afraid, man, sometimes. I think you're more afraid to tell them. You're just stick it and burn it out, that's all. Just, well, you know yourself, you're letting yourself in for someone if you didn't, like, you know, because it might be getting grown bigger and bigger, and you didn't want to, which you don't want that to happen, like, you know. Cause so I had to let it ride. I never complained. I just did what I had to do, and I wanted to get out. Like any sensible man would have done.
When you got out, then you'd return to the unit. When you got out, you'd return to your unit.
Yes, yes.
But what happened then at Duffcombe?
Well, I wasn't at Duffcombe. We were still down at still down at Portlandville. Shortly after I come out, down with Frome there. Portlandville, you know, down in on the Swanry there, down there. We're just about. Well, they were slacking off as the invasion was slacking off then. There was no threats like then because I think the Air Force had taken command then. I think, you know, Jerry wasn't sent as much, so we were more or less transferred from there down to Uffcombe. I was only there about 3 weeks or a fortnight down there. And we were standing too, but we weren't as, you know, every 2 minutes on the beaches like we were before.
So then you moved to Uffcombe?
That's right, we moved to Uffcombe. We travelled down to Uffcombe.
We've dealt more or less with Uffcombe. When did you leave of them to go abroad?
We went up to, well, Scotland, where we left abroad, from...
Remember what date or time of the year it was?
No, left from Greenock, was it Greenock, up in Scotland, up there, that's where we went by train up to there. I remember getting on the train on skipped and like and going right through, like, I see these troop trains used to go straight through, more or less, didn't they? There wasn't much stopping on stations, like, because it was really information, letting the public know any information, wasn't it? Like, you know, where they were going, where it was going, the train.
Had any inkling that you were going abroad?
Oh, yes. We were issued with khaki drill, you know, the Middle East gear, like, you know, the pith helmets and which they had them there, and like, you know, people in shorts, khaki shorts. Oh, aye, yes, we knew where we were going. Oh, and that's why the train never was the top, so we more or less being brief, like, we were going to go right up to the dock, so we didn't stop at any stations, like, you know, so wouldn't any information would be, what you call this fifth column job, you know.
Did any of the civilians at Uffcombe know you were going? Were they there on the station?
They know we were going abroad, but they didn't know, they knew we were leaving, but they didn't know where we were going. But they must have known with the khaki drill about, you know.
Were a lot of people there to send you off?
Not so many. It was only a small place, it was Uffcombe, you know. I think we were roughly about 5,000 if it was that. It's only a small place. There's one or two on the station. That's because one or two of them had made great friends and one or two of them were getting wed. You know what I mean? But not... Not that I, well, nobody saw me, you know, because I hadn't made that, I wasn't caught, no, knocking about with anybody, like, you know.
How did you feel about leaving England and going abroad?
Well, it never really entered my head, like, because we know we wouldn't stop in England forever, we were expecting it any time, you know, because we knew we couldn't stop in England not as a battalion, as a brigade, and as a... And the 50 was a division. We knew we were a division, like, we knew that, we all had an idea that we didn't know it would be Middle East, like, you know.
What are your memories of the journey?
Beg your pardon?
What are your memories of the journey?
Well, not really my memory, because we were 7 weeks at sea, you know. 7 or 8 weeks, like, with Dr. Greenock, like, we bought a boat at Greenock. It was the Duchess of Richmond, And we're all seasick, naturally. We used to play trombola, you know. That's what you call your bingo on board the ship. And we had PT every morning, like, you know, and kept fit as much as we could. But the mess decks were crowded, you know. There's about 3,000 or 4,000 on that ship. And we hadn't room much to move around in. In your mess deck, you're on annex, you know, where your groups, your tables were there, so you used to sleep on the tables, you know, as you follow down. You know what I mean? And your mess decks was there, you know, where you grew off the mess deck. Well, you used to sleep in the mess decks and that. Well, you're well below and all, you know. If anything hit it, like, you know, you hadn't much chance of getting anything if you had been hit.
What was the food like on the ship?
Pretty good. Very, very fair. And they had a good canteen, plenty of beer. Opens a pint it was, I remember. But see, what they used to do is take the top off the beer and had a gallon can. They wouldn't sell it in pints, they would sell it in gallons. They used to take big cigarette tins, a bath tin, a bucket, and get a gallon of beer, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of frozen oranges and frozen apples on board the ship. You could buy in the naffy, you know what I mean? You could buy chocolate, cigarettes, or anything like. And it was open for drinks. Then when they finished all the bottles, yeah, there's bottled beer on and all. Oh, it was Whitbreads, a lot of Whitbreads it was, I remember it. Aye. But to make me laugh, when they used to go with he had a tap on sometimes and just gear a gallon straight. They couldn't mess about with pints, you know what I mean? It's just gear a gallon. And they all used to go with your cups then, and sit round, it's your turn to pay, you buy a gallon, and there, sit, lift up, and then you go get another gallon, you know what I mean? Then we used to play a trombola at night and play cards, play anything for entertainment, like. But it was a long journey forward. Till we got to Durban, like, you know, that was our... No, we stopped at Freetown, like, you know, for supplies, but we didn't... We didn't... get off. We weren't allowed to shore leave. Only time was when we doctored Durban, and it was in June. So that'll tell you, being about the May or there, aren't we? Because it was my birthday when I was 21 year old in Durban. I remember it now, yes, I was 21 year old in Durban.
Had anything happened on the voyage? You were in convoy, were you?
Well, when the escorts, I think the Exeter was one, the ship that then it went to the Far East then after it got us through, and we kept hearing news that one or two of them were withdrawn. They withdrawn the destroyers, their escort, off to go and fight a battle or something, and then someone else would join us. They were always on the wings of us, you know. All you could say, they were about 2 or 3 mile off, like, or a mile off, you know. You couldn't recognise anything of them. But they were always there, and they were whipping around, and, you know, their escort, there was a few, because there was a division, you know. There'd be about 60,000 men, wouldn't there? 60,000, there was something like that, you know. Because there were RAs, everything that is. They'd say that the division was like a division moving,
What was the discipline like on the ship?
Well, it wasn't. Well, we didn't see much of the officer because there's no what we could do. We're too crowded, more or less. All we could do was do PT and board drill, you know what I mean, for any torpedo drill and that, you know, and gun drill and one thing or another. Well, you had your gunner's like on them. But we couldn't do any drills or anything. We did more reading and lectures, you know what I mean.
What kind of lectures were you getting?
Well, of Middle East, of medical, you know, all medical, and out of bounds, you know, what the native, you know, the people were, the Egyptians were, and one thing and another, and telling us all about the country, putting us on our guard leg of certain things, you know, of such as the, you know, the brothels and one thing and another, and all this thing, and telling us all about how we can treat ourselves, you know. All on medical, a lot of it was on medical. And on the state of the country and what diseases there was, you know, which they had to try to get it into us that we had to do these things and what was right and what was wrong, which we, you know, you never do, like, you know, because once you get abroad, like, it still sticks in your mind, though. Just sticks in your mind. You learn a lot that way. I learned a lot that way with that. Such as all young lads, we're only 20, 21 year olds. We'd never heard of all these things before, because we'd never been abroad, had we? None of us had been abroad. Not as far as that, anyhow. So it was an adventure, really.
Had there been any men in England who hadn't wanted to go abroad and tried to get out of it?
There was one or two of them. There's one or two.
What did they do?
One of them shot his toe off. Still carried him on board, though, on a stretcher. There's one or two went missing. A lot of them didn't want to go, and that's me. You don't get 100% in anything like that.
You reached Durban. What kind of reception did you get?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Never seen anything like it. There was cars waiting on the docks here, just coming off and whipping into cars and taking it anywhere you want. And I got off the dock, and this woman came to me, and she says, would you like to go to the races? I said, I saw we went up to Clarewood, just outside of Durban. I wanted to date the race. And she took us for a meal there and everything. And when we come back, we had an evening meal, you know, in her house before we went back on board the ship. So, man, it was a meal. So as I said, to this woman, like, you know, she was a married woman, like, she would be about 50, like, you know. Her husband was there, like, and they entertained as well. And I says, well, that's a very nice meal, was that? Could I congratulate the cook? She said, no, I'm sorry. They're black. We're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. I'm sorry, but he says, I quite agree it's good, but you're not allowed to congratulate. He says, because we like to keep them down. He says, we don't want them to. That was the word she told me. And they went in such as a church army there. And I went in, like, and ordered. And whatever they had on, the menu you got. And so much, put some of it in the box as you go out. Very good. Well, they couldn't do enough for us. And that was the same with every ship that come in, they reckon. They wait, now every morning we're out off the docks, the car's laid there to pick it up. A lot of them wanted a dessert, mind. A lot of them asked me, did I feel like stopping in South Africa? She says, because there's too much, they want a lot of weights, more weights than, you know. She says, we can get you a false passport. We left 200 when we got on board. There's 200 didn't get back on. Some of them they caught, some I don't think they ever caught. Oh, I was fabulous, because how I know, 21st birthday there, I went, there's coming back on the boat, to go back onto the boat again. I said, oh, I'll call and get some oranges. So I said to this dog, I said, shopkeeper, I said, can you give us half a crown's worth of oranges? So he fetched a sack. We'll be about half a weight in the boat. I said, what's all them for? So I went, half a crown. This is the half a crown of sack, lad. So there he is with a bag of oranges, going back on the boat with a bag of oranges. Ha ha, he's looking over the half a crown. About 2 or 3 stone in a sack like that.
How long were you there?
I think it was 5 days, 5 or 6 days.
Did you have to parade or do a march of any
kind? No. They wanted us off the ship just because they get supplies on, more or less, you know. Because we're in the road, aren't you, when you're loading, aren't you? Because they have to open the bow, you think. So the more or less were loaded off at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or something like that. Some of them were on duty. Everybody wasn't allowed off, and you had to be back by a certain time. Mother, if you weren't back, you're in irons. Oh, aye, they were very strict with the Navy because you come under their command, you know, when you're on that support, you're under their captain, we're under our command. Well, we are, right, but they have the last word, the top of our colonel, because they have the last word, they have more say than the colonel, for all the only a captain of the ship, but it's their boat, isn't it? And we were always waiting on the gangplank of us and checking us, you know, all past us. If we passed, and then the patrols were out every night, you know. Whipping you in on the jeeps running around with the Navy patrols. Although I never stopped out, like, I never was late. I just thought, like, not that I was a good boy, but I just thought we'd had enough. Well, I have to think so, because we're in the bars all day, the bars were open all day if you wanted, and everybody you met, like, were treating you. And there was a lot of people that emigrated there, you know, a lot from, you know, a lot of people were from this town, from round north, you know, a lot of northern people there. And they used to treat you like bloody kings, anyhow. I thought I enjoyed it, anyhow. I always said I'd go back. I always said if I ever went to the Far East, I'd all go back to Durban, or go back to South Africa. It's a lovely country. They took us up to the Table Mountain, you know, where all the monkeys are, and that's where they ride up there, where the fog was on the top before, you know. Oh, they was a ride up there and all. Oh, they were very good. We went to Clare's, I told you. We went to Clarewood Racecourse. It cost us nothing to go in, nothing. They marked a card for us, so, you know, thought would win, you know. Oh, we had a good day, I'll tell you. It was fine. I could have stopped there forever, I'll tell you.
Did you take on board any fresh troops on the South Africa?
No, we were full up then. No. Oh, what? We were like sardines then. Getting the war on. We did pick some up, a few Indians. I think we picked a few, well, they're Pakistanis now. We picked a few of them up.
You would then sail on, of course, up the Red Sea.
Big man?
You would then sail up the Red Sea?
No, I went round by the Cape, yes, and into
the Red Sea.
Port side.
What do you recall that part of the journey?
That was lovely, because see, you could get on, when we first started off, when you get out to sea, it was day, you could, you know, when we stopped in Dillman, you could dive overboard and have a swim around, because we were in that climate then, they say. They allowed then to dive around and swim around a bit. And then they wanted to. And, well, it was a bit better when we went over the equator, like, they had the horse pipes out, and we got a certificate of King of the Dolphins off the captain. Nearly everybody got a one. I lost mine, I don't know where I lost it. That was the best part about it. But I got hot then. When it did get hot, you couldn't walk without your slippers on the deck. Oh, they were red hot. At daytime, but night, it used to come cool. Come right cool. I loved it.
conditions below deck must have been pretty bad when it was
hot. Oh, it was hot. Oh, we were in that climate. Oh, the fans were going on and they couldn't... Smell, you know, it's only natural sweat. It didn't suit me anyway. I was on that deck if I could get on that deck, you know.
Did you sleep on deck when it was hot?
Hot, aye. Yeah. If you're allowed on, some parts of the deck you weren't allowed on. You're only allowed on so many decks, you know. That belonged to Navy part, you know, for the thing. You weren't allowed to go so, you're not allowed so far.
Did you resent the officers being in relatively comfortable cabins?
They were in bunks. Well, they were in cabins, weren't they? Well, everybody does that, don't they? Like, you know, what they couldn't give everybody a cabin, as we say. Like, what? Would have liked to have won. Would have liked to have better quarters, like, you know what I mean? It was rough quarters, you know. Sleeping and eating in the same room. And, it was hot. Ventilation. You'll get a lot of men down and saying about 20 men in a little place like this with a hammock slung and some laying on the floor, some laying on the thing. Now look, what can you breathe? Oh, it took some bad. Your sweat was pouring off you. You couldn't sleep a lot of it for the heat. After getting in there, over there, you know, in the hot country, after getting out of the Atlantic and out of the, into the Mediterranean, more or less, getting out of the North Sea, into the Mediterranean, where it started getting warm. Shocking. To me, it was, anyway, it was shocking. A lot of the poor lads never got shot. A lot of them were seasick for weeks, you know. They couldn't stand it with the heat and that. They seemed to always keep coming back on them. A lot of them got feverish, like, a lot of them, you know.
Did you lose anyone with sickness and illness?
No, I never heard of losing. We had a lot of hospital cases, like, but I never heard of losing anybody. Not that I know of, anyhow. Not in our... See, we're only allowed so far. They said there's a different, two different, three, four different holes, they say. I didn't know what was happening to the end of the ship. As I say, the one PT down there, and we're on to... See, you all couldn't get on the deck at once to do PT, so you had to do it in stages. So it was just, like, awkward, you know. You never see or anybody, you know, only your own mates and that, like, you saw plenty of them, like, but I never saw anything of the other battalions or out like that, you know.
Did the hot conditions and the relatively boring journey, towards the end, was it getting at you, or was it becoming...
It was getting a lot of people down. Yes, it was getting a lot of people. They got me down a little bit. We're glad when we dock, wherever we dock to get off. Because there was... Well, you were cramped, I'll tell you, just cramped.
And where did you arrive? Where did you arrive at in Egypt?
Portside. That's where we docked at Portside in Egypt.
And what are your memories of and first impressions of Egypt?
When I looked at it, dear me, it's filthy. It was filthy. There was no... They hadn't moved with the times, have they? They still aren't moved with the times, have they? Like, so it was like going back into the old-fashioned days, you know what I mean, with the people, the way they moved around with the donkeys and, you know, and bicycles and garries and... Sure, motor cars, but old-fashioned things, you know what I mean, dropping to bits, you know. So we're not having any wheels on, had no horns on, you know, no doors on, no, you know. Of course, there's no such as MOT out there, was there, like, or anything like that. But when you go in the cities, it was a bit better, but in the countries, you know, I find that there's villages and that. Well, you go to Cairo or Alex, like, you get some proper taxis, like, but still it was... The poor end, they lived rough. Well, the donkeys and that were all over the place, and goats and what, you know. We went to a place called El Casasing, or El Casasing, you know, there, we went there.
What was that like?
Pardon?
What was that like?
It was just a camp, that's all, a big camp, where if you get wounded, or if it's like a distribution centre for sending people up the line. If you get wounded, you go back to Kostas and you're posted from there after you've come out of hospital. If you're pit, like, to go back up the line, then orders come that you just... Well, I was with the battalion, but if any stragglers, you know, they would just have to fall in with us. They went up the line with us. They'd come out of hospital if another... They might have been the Gloucesters, might have been the Cowleys, might have been the London Irish, but they were drafted up with us, you know what I mean. Or sometimes there was a special... If they weren't drafted with us... Because when I was there, I got drafted up, like, you know, they wanted to say 500 men, they just come round, 500 men, parade in the morning, right, whip you straight away up the blue. What they used to call up the blue, like, you know. There was no saying, no, I don't want to go with that. A lot of them deserted, man. They didn't want to go. As soon as they knew where they were going, it's got your son in that, so, like, it was. They'd had it once, they didn't want to go the second time. Especially a lot of them had been wounded, they lost the nerve a little bit.
This was the first time, of course, and you just arrived there. What facilities did this camp have for you when you first went?
Oh, just under canvas, that's all. We just went under canvas, and it was like a permanent camp because there was a canteen there and cool, you know. It's like a holding camp, you know, for anybody, you know. There were about three or four camps there, not only all, well, bloody hell, but it was a big, big camp.
Did you do any training, pre-desert training?
You know, we kept fit. Have to keep fit. The army believe in keeping you fit, keeping you trying to occupy your mind, which you know that, don't you, yourself? Like, they try to keep you on the move all the time so you don't get stalled, don't they? Because like, once you get started, get somebody in your mind, they take some knocking out of it again. They're in for trouble then, aren't they? Well, I used to think so, you know.